At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome, welcome everyone to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. We want to shout out any new listeners who are joining us for the very first time. We're happy to have you on board. For those of you who have been here from the start, you already know the drill. We live and die by this team just like the rest of you, and we make no apologies for that. So welcome into this Bastards Roundtable episode. I'm your host, Jason Kelly, coming to you from Canton, Massachusetts. If you want to find us on Twitter, you can find the podcast account at Bastards_Boston. Joining me tonight from Reading, Pennsylvania is Micah Storms. Micah, how are we doing?
I'm doing well, Jason. I'm excited for, I would say at least for now, the Red Sox are going to be playing some meaningful games. I would think the environment at Fenway Park this weekend should be pretty electric. I think fans are going to be excited for a big series, and I hope that the big series and the meaningful games continue at least into September, because this is when the games are fun, or should be fun to watch, especially as a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll be there this weekend, right? So, you know, hopefully you'll bring us some good luck.
I hope to see a win.
Yep. Also joining us tonight from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, by way of Windham, Maine, is Terry Cushman. Terry, how we doing?
Doing good. The remainder of the season is open to interpretation. We're getting some pieces back. Offense is sputtering a little bit, but we'll see.
Yeah, obviously Red Sox are coming off the heels of the trade deadline where they chose to stand pat pretty much for the most part. Although if you hear Chaim Bloom talk, they'll say, well, you did make 3 deals, you know, which is a fancy way of saying, oh, no, we did stuff. It was 3 incredibly microscopic small deals, but they did make 3 deals. Meanwhile, you know, Max Scherzer goes to Texas. Justin Verlander goes to Houston. Your AL rivals loaded up. You decide to stand pat. And we're going to get into that a little bit because, obviously, Red Sox are in it. They're not out of this by any stretch. They are in the wild card hunt as of right now. They've got some easy games coming up here in August, but they've got a bear of a schedule in September that is looming over them. And a lot of it's going to come down to getting some of their internal guys back, particularly on the pitching staff. Right now, they're pretty much rolling with, you know, Paxton, Bayo, Cutter Crawford, and then some bullpen games that involve Nick Pivetta, Chris Murphy, etc. And they're waiting on Chris Sale to come back. They're waiting on Garrett Whitlock to come back, and they're waiting on Tanner Houck, all of whom seem like they're close-ish, probably another week or two before we start seeing those guys come back. And the question will be, in what capacity? Alex Cora did already say this week that Chris Sale will 100% come back as a starter. I don't think that's a surprise. I think at this point, given his contract situation and given who he is, you get the most out of Chris Sale that you can by putting him back in that starter role. But the roles for Whitlock and Houck aren't as clearly defined. And there's rumors that they could go to the bullpen, that maybe one of them goes back to the rotation. One of them's a bulk opener guy, you know, or a bulk bullpen guy. So Terry, I'm going to start with you. How do you see the Red Sox pitching staff shaping up going forward for the rest of this year as they try to push towards a wild card berth? And then even, you know, longer term down the road with some of these young arms, what do you think their plan is there?
Well, as far as the short term, I expect Chris Sale to come back and, for the most part, pitch effectively. I mean, he's only had one rehab start. I think that was yesterday. He went 40 pitches, 26 of them were strikes. I forget how many punch outs he had. He walked 2, but overall, it was a pretty good start. the most curious aspect of it for me was, where's the velo? What's he touching? And he was touching 97. So that's good. And when you look at the first, you know, 4 or 5 weeks at the start of the season where Sale struggled, his fastball was sitting at like 94, 95. And it was only when he amped it up, you know, to 97, 98, that, you know, he started kind of resembling the Chris Sale of old. So I'm cautiously optimistic that he'll pitch effectively and give us a chance to win and give you a good 5-6 solid innings. Paxton, for now, I mean, face value, he's pitched pretty well, and I don't foresee a change there. Bayo, I'm a little bit concerned about. You know, we debated on whether we wanted to talk about that on the last show. Just a little bit inconsistent lately. The long ball has been a problem, giving up a lot of hard contact. So that kind of bears watching. He should get it back together. You would think only minor adjustments need to be made, and then he'll be back to his self. I mean, we were throwing out the ace label for him, and he probably is a future ace. After that, I mean, I don't really know what to expect. Ideally, Tanner Houck would probably go back into the rotation, but he was up and down and wasn't really looking well outside of a couple of Yankee starts, which was right before the facial fracture. And he owns the Yankees, has great numbers against them. And they were a shell of themselves. They didn't have Judge. They have a historically anemic lineup that still has like Josh Donaldson, who's basically completely washed. So I don't know how much credit you can give someone for shutting them down. So we'll see, but I don't expect Trevor Story to be a huge factor. He's still, you know, he hasn't really had a normal season in quite some time, probably going back to 2019, really. And the bullpen, tons of questions there. I'm still worried a lot about the sustainability of this team, and I don't have high expectations for the postseason either. I mean, I should say the hot stove season. So we just don't spend money. Nothing makes sense. This trade deadline did not make sense from an acquisition standpoint, you know, to the major league roster, to selling guys to boost the farm. It didn't make sense. And I question where Bloom stands with ownership. It's tough to read right now. It's just so tough to read. This is a weird time to be a Red Sox fan.
It really is. Yeah. Like you said, that the direction seems, fuzzy. It would be the word I would use. It's a very fuzzy direction for the team right now. Micah, help us make it make sense. What do you think the Red Sox plan is here?
It's a pretty loaded question. Just because there are quite a bit of options if they come back healthy. And I think that's a big if. Starting with Sale, I truly don't know what to expect. Sale really struggled in his first 4 or 5 starts. He was very inconsistent. And then he finally started to locate his pitches more. His velo ticked up. But did he get injured because he started to throw harder? Maybe. Maybe his body just can't handle 97, 98. And I think he even threw a 99, if I remember back to that Bryce Harper at bat. You know, most pitchers, especially at that arm angle that he throws at, their body just can't consistently throw that hard. And the Red Sox can't afford Sale to come back and struggle for 3, 4, 5 starts. They really can't afford that. They need him to give them at least, like Terry said, quality 5-6 inning starts. They have to have that, but he's going to be one of them. But I am curious to see how effective he is upon his arrival. Paxton, his June, he was pitcher of the month. It was a really great June, but his July was up and down. And I wonder if we're starting to just see a little fatigue, Paxton only threw 21 innings in 3 years because of Tommy John surgery and all those injuries. He's up to 70 now, which really in the grand scheme of things is not that many. But in September, when he's over 100 innings, what's his velo look like? What's his overall performance look like? I do wonder about that. Bayo, I still like what I see. Terry, I do agree the home run problem, it's a concern. But I think with Bayo, it's probably more he way outpitched per expectations for a good 6 weeks. And this is his first full big league season. You can't forget that. So he's going through adjustments. The league is adjusting to him after he adjusted to them. And it's just that learning curve. And there's going to be some good ones. There's going to be some bad ones. But I'm not too concerned with Bayo. The guy that I think should be a lock in the rotation for at least right now is Cutter Crawford. I am sold on him being a 4 or 5 starter for the near future. Maybe not in September, but I don't see how Chris Sale, Garrett Whitlock, Tanner Houck, any of those three guys come back and you say, well, we got to move Cutter Crawford out of the rotation. Crawford has been solid. He just lowered his ERA after his start in Seattle to 3.62. And if you take out that first start against the Pirates at the beginning of the year, what is the highest runs he's given up in one outing? What would you say the guess is?
I would guess 4.
I would probably go a little higher, maybe 5 or 6.
The answer is 4. That's the most runs he's given up in one outing. And he only did that 3 times. So in every other outing, it's been 3 runs or less. And again, I'm approaching the Crawford angle as this is my number 5 starter. And if the Red Sox number 5 starter can give them 4, 5, 6 innings of 3 earned or less, I'm going to take that every time. You guys, we were talking before with Tanner Houck before we started recording. He really struggled prior to his injury. And his splits between righties and lefties, I would much rather see Alex Cora utilize him and pick the spot where there's not so many lefties in the lineup for 2 innings or so, and you use Houck that way. And maybe you piggyback Houck off of Crawford or Sale or whatever you want to do. But I think Whitlock and Houck are the guys that should be the 2 or 3 inning guys coming out of the pen. I think with Whitlock, I think his body probably just can handle that a little bit easier than throwing 5 innings and then coming back 5 days later and throwing 5 innings again. I think those guys should be in the pen, and it would also allow them to probably come back quicker because they don't have to build up their pitch count so much. So I think the rotation should be, at least in the near future, when all those guys come back, Paxton, Bayo, Sale, Crawford, and I'm giving Nick Pivetta the other spot. Whether you want to use an opener or not, I think Pivetta has earned to be a 5, 6 inning guy. I think he's found something, and that would be what I would do if everyone's healthy for the near future.
I think I agree with that plan because I don't know how you can remove Nick Pivetta from the rotation right now. And I, you know, rotation for him kind of goes in air quotes because obviously they do the whole, you know, or at least they have been doing the opener thing with him. Maybe that's about to change. You know, we saw it this past week that, you know, he just flat out started. So maybe now they're comfortable with just starting him out as a starter and going that way. But I don't know how you remove him right now. He's too hot. And your manager, you know, Cora has always been a guy who's rode the hot hand. So I think that Pivetta I think his rotation spot is safe. And I'm not the biggest Cutter Crawford guy, but I've never been sold on Whitlock or Houck as full-time starters. You know, I mean, anyone who's been listening to us all season has heard me rail against the idea of, you know, Whitlock as a starter. I just don't think he can hold up. I think there's a reason why the Yankees let him go in the Rule 5. The Yankees, who have similarly struggled like the Red Sox have to develop pitching within their own system, they let him go for free. They offered him up to everybody. And yeah, you snagged him, and you know, he's been really good when he's been on the mound. He's been very good for you. But now the injuries are really starting to pile up for a guy that you also invested in. You signed him to an extension. So you've got to make sure that you're not wasting that money. It's not huge money, but still, you've got to make sure that you're getting the most out of that investment. And I think the way you do that is you put him in the bullpen. And, you know, especially for this stretch right now, you don't need to force him back into the starting rotation. You don't need to say, okay, Whitlock's back, let's expect, you know, 6-7 innings out of him every start, because he'll give you a couple starts like that, but then inevitably an injury is going to occur. It just seems like that's the constant thing with him. So I agree. I want to see Whitlock going to the pen, and I feel the same way about Tanner Houck, because with Houck, it's different. His injury was a freak accident. You can't do anything about it. Although I will say that type of injury scares me for a guy's sort of mentality, particularly for a pitcher long-term, getting back on the mound and getting right again. You know, this is an older example, but Matt Clement was a really good pitcher for the Chicago Cubs, came over to the Red Sox, got beamed in the face. That was it. He could never come back. He tried to. He was a complete mess. His career fell apart and he was done. And he was a guy who was a good, solid pitcher his whole career, and it just all fell apart after that. And you can't blame a guy. I mean, that's, you know, something like that happens. Your life flashes before your eyes. So Houck, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure what you're going to get. Not just because of that, but like you guys said, he's inconsistent. I'm just not sure that he has the stuff or the makeup to really be a starter long term. So yeah, my rotation, you know, if everyone's back and healthy, I'm going same thing. Paxton, Bayo, Sale, Pivetta, Crawford. I think that's your best chance right now. And then, you know, have Whitlock and Houck pitch out of the bullpen. If Cutter Crawford starts to scuffle, you know, if he starts to really get lit up and Whitlock comes back and he looks really sharp, then maybe you consider making a swap there, particularly if you're still in the race, right? If you're still in the wild card race, then yeah, maybe you make the swap. If you kind of fall out of it, you know, you change your plans after that. But this has kind of been my issue with the Red Sox all year, is that it's been a whole season of, well, just wait until X comes back, right? Like beginning of the year, it was, well, just wait till Whitlock comes back, because he, you know, he got injured in the spring. Just wait till he's back. Just wait till Sale is back. Then Duvall gets hurt. And then it was, well, just wait till Duvall gets back. Then we'll be good. Trevor Story, same thing. The whole year it's been, well, yeah, shortstop's been a mess, but just wait till Trevor Story comes back. Trevor Story hit .238 last year. And yeah, I know he got hurt. It was a weird kind of year for him, but people were acting like Trevor Story was Manny Machado. He's not that player. He never has been. He's a good player, but like, he's probably going to hit around .250, maybe provide you some power. He is better defensively, but you're not getting an MVP back in your lineup. You're getting just a solid player. But it's just been a whole season of just wait until X, Y, and Z comes back. So hopefully this is the last time we have to say that, but is Sale, Whitlock, Houck, is that really going to propel the Red Sox forward? I'm not entirely convinced it will. You know, does it provide some more stability because you get those guys back and you don't have to deal with Joe Jakes anymore? You don't have to deal with, you know, any of these other nameless bums out of that bullpen, this Lavera guy that they got. You don't have to worry about them anymore. Sure, that helps. But if Sale comes back and he's not the same, and he's starting games giving up 4 or 5 runs, you know, early on, that doesn't help you either. So I think there's still a big question mark as to whether or not these returns are really going to put them over the edge and, you know, put them in a spot where all of a sudden they are going to get a wild card spot and they're going to make the playoffs. I'm just not 100% convinced, and I don't know how anyone else could be.
Just a couple of things to, you know, throw out there. Crawford's his home and away ERA are drastically, you know, different. On the road, he's got a .236 ERA. At home, it's an even 6.00. And Micah mentioned that one start against the Pirates, and, you know, it was his worst start. But just his last three home starts are pretty bad. July 28th against the Mets. July 21st against the Mets. Only lasted four innings, gave up four earned runs, two home runs in that outing. 2 weeks earlier, on July 6th, he faced the Texas Rangers. So this was two home starts ago for him. Four innings pitched, seven hits, three earned runs, no homers, but not a good outing. And there was a very quick hook. And then you got to go all the way back to June 13th to get to three home starts ago. That was against the Colorado Rockies, which was a terrible series for the Red Sox. Again, only lasting four innings, five earned runs, and five hits and four earned runs. So he hasn't been good at home, and you just wonder, we're about to enter a long homestand, and we've had a bunch of off days throughout July. Like, there were a lot of off days, so Alex Cora was able to manipulate things a little bit, so perhaps he wasn't pitching so much at home. Over to Nick Pivetta now. I kind of like him as the bulk guy because he's never failed as the bulk guy. The sample size is short because he's only been doing it this year. He did it in the 2021, September and October, and did it pretty well there. So he's never truly failed in that role, but he has failed as a starter time and time again throughout his career. So I just wouldn't mess with it. You're getting Sale back to go with Paxton, Bayo, and hopefully still Crawford. I mean, you got four starters. I don't know if you want to mess with him just to slot him in fifth. You've got a couple other bulk guys, but those are just my thoughts on some of that.
Yeah, and certainly one of the reasons why I'm kind of on Micah's side of the fence here with Cutter Crawford, even though I've been iffy on him, at least Cutter Crawford is, 26, 27 years old? He's still under 30. There's still room for him to reach a little bit of a higher ceiling. I'm not telling you he's going to ever be a front-of-the-rotation kind of guy. I don't think he ever will project as that, but we know what Nick Pivetta is. Right. We definitely know what he is. He has reached his ceiling. He's plateaued. As much as he's been good of late, yeah, I could totally see him, if he does go back into that rotation as a true starter, he might just go back to being Nick Pivetta the starter, which was a guy who every now and then would give up four or five runs, you know, have really ugly starts, particularly at Fenway. He does not pitch well at Fenway, has an ERA close to five there. So that could definitely happen again. At least with Cutter Crawford, there's a chance that if you invest in him a little bit by keeping him in the rotation, maybe he, you know, delivers for you. And again, a lot of this will depend on the health of Sale, Houck, and Whitlock and how they look when they come back. But I'm not opposed to keeping Pivetta in that bulk role and not necessarily promising him a starting role again, because again, we've seen it too many times. He's been here long enough. We know what he is. I just don't know, based on Houck and Whitlock and their health and their performance, whether or not they're going to be good enough to justify doing that. I'm still not a believer in either of those guys for different reasons, but I just don't have a ton of faith. I don't know. Micah, what do you think about that whole thing?
The Crawford home and road splits is definitely eye opening. And I think it's definitely something to keep an eye. You got to watch that, because you can't have a 6 ERA consistently for the remainder of the year at home, because they do have some long homestands coming up. So maybe Crawford is the guy that they decide to kind of be a short bulk guy, three or four innings, and then they go to Whitlock or Houck for three or four innings. And they limit his opportunities to face the top of the order, you know, only two times instead of three, so he doesn't have that blow up inning. But it is something worth watching. And I think a guy that deserves to be mentioned is Chris Murphy. Chris Murphy has been fantastic for this bullpen, and I think Alex Cora is putting him in the best possible role for him to be successful. He has a 1.59 ERA, and the Red Sox don't need him to throw 5-6 innings at a time. If he gives them 3 or 4, that's more than, you know, that is super valuable, and he's also left-handed. The other guys we're kind of talking about for the bulk role or, you know, coming in to piggyback a starter, Crawford, Pivetta, Whitlock, Houck, they're all righties. So I like the idea that the Red Sox have a lefty that could give them 2-3 innings against a lineup that maybe is left-handed dominant. I like that. And then my last point is with Whitlock, with the state of the bullpen, the Red Sox pretty much have the 8th and 9th inning locked up with Martin and Jansen. I would love to see Whitlock go back to that Swiss Army knife 2021 role, where whatever inning you find yourself in a tricky spot, you put Garrett Whitlock in the game because you know he's going to get out of it. Because that's what he was in 2021. It was the 6th inning, 1st and 2nd, 1 out. All right, going to Garrett Whitlock, inning's over. That's really what it was. He was dominant. And I would like to see them use him in that role because you don't have to worry about, well, we got to hold him for the 8th or 9th. That's not a concern. Use him in whatever jam you find yourself in to extend the game and give the Red Sox offense a chance, because that's what happened today. We saw that. They got in the 6th inning, they got into a jam, and who came in the game? It was Richard Bleier. You don't want Richard Bleier in that game, but if you put Garrett Whitlock in that spot, I think you're going, okay, I can see them getting out of that jam, or maybe they end the inning, tie ball game. Offense still has a chance. Those are the spots that I want to see Alex Cora utilize Garrett Whitlock. I think that's when his value is maximized, because he succeeds and he almost craves that big moment. He's not afraid of it. And I think this team has been missing that guy who can be put in a spot where it's ugly, but you feel pretty confident that you're going to get out of it and still be in the ball game.
And to Whitlock's credit, he did, you know, he has said, whatever they want me to do, I'll do it. You know, if it's bullpen, if it's rotation, you know, if it's just for one inning or it's multiple, I don't care. I'll do it. And I know that's, you know, an easy thing for any guy to say, but, you know, Whitlock's a guy, he's already got his money. He can say whatever he wants. He could pull what Nick Pivetta pulled earlier this year, where he said, yeah, no, I don't want to be in the bullpen. I want to be a starter. Instead, Whitlock is, you know, it sounds like he's open to whatever they want to use him for. So, yeah, I would love to see that too. Like, he's your shutdown inning guy. When you need a shutdown inning, instead of having to rely on Richard Bleier or Joe Jakes, who thankfully he will not be here when this scenario takes place, but like guys like that, yeah, I would much rather see Whitlock. And I'm glad you brought up Murphy, because we were talking the last show about the lack of lefties the Red Sox have. I don't know how long Jolie is going to be out for, but hopefully when Jolie's back, it's him and it's maybe Chris Murphy are your lefties coming out of that pen, you know, and Bernardino as well, as opposed to Bleier and Joe Jakes, who just, I think those guys just don't provide anything for you. So I would like to see more of Chris Murphy as well. I agree.
With Whitlock, I mean, if a pitcher throws a hissy fit about being relegated to the bullpen, they'll have an opportunity to prove everyone wrong and prove that they can hold it down and come back to the rotation. I mean, Nick Pivetta, it's very borderline right now. I mean, you guys are advocating for it. I'm a little bit skeptical. But Nick Pivetta has forced that to at least be a conversation, you know, whether he should or shouldn't. So, I mean, if anyone's crying about staying in the rotation when they're clearly not hacking it, I don't have any patience for that. And we'll see. I mean, at this point, I think Whitlock knows, okay, I just can't do it. I can't do it 6 innings at a time every 5th day. I don't know if it's genetics or mechanics or what, but he's just not that guy. And you can have a really long career as an effective late inning pitcher. I mean, look at David Robertson. We were talking about him on the last show. Where did he go again?
Went to Miami.
Miami. And I mean, he's been around forever. Is still pitching. I mean, he wouldn't be a closer on a dominant big market team, but still, a very trustworthy guy. So just get after it, and that's all that matters. And we've seen Hauk thrive in that role last year before the back surgery. So they just need to put the pieces in the right places. They've got a lot of guys that can give you at least three or four innings, and that solves the rotation in a way, and it solves the bullpen. And you just need guys like Yoshida, Duran, Devers to stay hot. Verdugo now that we know we're keeping him. And then we'll see what happens. But like I said, it's all very open to interpretation at this point.
Yeah. And your point about if Whitlock does become a reliever or a closer, to that extent, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. There's been a lot of guys who went from starting to closing who had huge success when they converted. Wade Davis. Wade Davis was supposed to be a long-term starter for the Rays. Never quite could figure it out. Kansas City turned him into a reliever, and he won like closer of the year one year or something like that. Ian Kennedy did it at one point. Oliver Perez pitched till he was like 41. That guy was a starter with Pittsburgh when he came up, and then switched to a reliever midway through his career and got an extra like 7-8 years out of it because of that. So maybe Garrett Whitlock has to sort of look internally and say, yeah, if my hips keep getting hurt or my neck or whatever from starting, maybe this is the direction I have to go. And I think for the Red Sox, that could be very beneficial. So
Andrew Miller and Jonathan Papelbon, both, Red Sox examples of, excuse me, failed starters who became dominant relievers.
Yeah, absolutely. So it could very well happen. Obviously, that's further down the line for him, I think. But I think at least for this year, yeah, put him in that Swiss Army knife role of just, whatever you need, the shutdown inning late in a game or even a 6th, 7th inning like you needed in this past Toronto series. Use Whitlock there because I think that's where he's at his best. But we'll see what they do, because I know that there's a lot of people in that organization that are determined for him to be a starter, and we'll see how long they push that envelope on that. But yeah, a lot of moving pieces coming back pretty soon in the coming weeks. A lot of decisions that have to be made. And meanwhile, the Red Sox just have to not just tread water, but they've got to gain some ground here, especially with this August schedule. Royals, Tigers, Nationals, they're all coming up. So those should be an easy way to stockpile some wins and give yourself a little bit of a buffer. But we'll see what they do. And we'll see what happens when all of those injured players come back and how they utilize them. So on that, we will wrap up this roundtable. Keep an eye out for the weekend crew Monday morning. They'll have you guys. They'll recap the Toronto Blue Jays series. And we'll be back with you guys next week for everything else. So until then, take care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.